Namene Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Albert the Great, very appropriately named Albertus Magnus. He was an incredible figure in church history. He's one of those one of the men who laid the foundations for the modern world in terms of science and education, as we'll see. So Saint Albert the Great was born in the year 1193, and he was originally from Bavaria. He studied in northern Italy, where he excelled above his peers. It was sometime during his studies here that he had a vision of Our Lady. I don't exactly know what exactly that was, but soon after that, he joined the newly established Dominican order. So if you recall, this would have been around, he joined in the year 1223, so he was close to 30 years old when he joined the Dominicans. And the Dominican order at that time was only 7 years old itself. Right? St. Dominic had just founded the Dominicans in 1216. So St. Albert the Great joins the Dominicans very early on, and he became noted for his strict observance of the rule. He was very sincerely pious, very devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the Dominicans recognized his academic abilities, his brilliance, so they sent him to the university in Cologne, and later to Paris, where he completed his studies in theology. Now, if you remember, it was just a few weeks ago, we had the Feast of St. Bruno, the founder of the Carthusians. St. Bruno, also, he was born in Cologne and studied in Paris. So we got some similarities here. Albert the Great so far exceeded everyone's expectations as to be amazing. He became known, or he is known, as the universal doctor because of his studies in everything. He surpassed in the studies of theology and philosophy, metaphysics, astronomy, mathematics, logic, rhetoric, ethics, economics, politics, botany, mineralogy, and others. He didn't study these. He was a master of them. In fact, he spent 20 years writing a compendium of these works, and he did so because he said he wanted it to be more intelligible. He wanted everybody to be able to understand and to know these things. Interestingly, if you're familiar with that term, people say, don't just believe what you're told, think for yourself. Have you heard that? It's kind of an insult directed towards us, directed towards those who believe in God. Oh, don't just believe what you're told, as if there's no other reason to believe in God. But those people who say that might be surprised to know that St. Albert the Great was the first one to say that about the natural sciences. And this is from his work. He wrote a book on mineralogy, and this is from Book 2, Title 2, Chapter 1. And St. Albert says, but we shall not report everything that is said about minerals, because this is of no advantage to science. For it is the task of natural science not simply to accept what we are told, but to inquire into the causes of natural things. How about that? So the next time when somebody tells you, oh, that the church is against science, or don't just believe what the church tells you, think for yourself, you can inform them about St. Albert the Great. Now, one of the things that he is most noted for is his student, Thomas Aquinas. As we know, Thomas Aquinas is, I would say, the most brilliant theologian that the world has ever known. Tip of the hat to St. Augustine, but I would have to say Thomas Aquinas is simply the best. And, as Aquinas was called the dumb ox when he was going to school because he was just quiet all the time, and he was taking everything in. And St. Albert the Great, his teacher, said of him, you call him the dumb ox, but his bellow will be heard around the world. And it was indeed absolutely true. Albert the Great was one of, along with Thomas Aquinas, introduced Aristotelian logic into the West. A little bit of a history lesson here. The collapse of the Roman Empire really had a tremendous impact on the availability of knowledge and so on. Aristotle was, he was the teacher of St. Alexander the Great. So we're talking around 4 or 500 BC, maybe 3, 4 or 500 BC, I can't remember exactly, which is the same time as the Maccabees. So probably closer to 300, actually, nowadays, yeah, 300 BC. So the Maccabees, Alexander the Great, Aristotle. Aristotle made tremendous advances in logic, and he passed it on in the Greek tradition. The Romans, when they took over that part of the world, adopted the Greek logic. When Constantine the Emperor became emperor of the Roman Empire, he moved everything to Constantinople. And that became the seat of culture and learning and art and everything. It was Constantinople, it wasn't Rome. And they called that Byzantium, the glory of Byzantium there. So the Greek thought, the Greek advances, the Greek knowledge, art, theater, and so on, these things suffered with the fall of Rome in 476, but Byzantium, Constantinople, continued to flourish. Now, that and that spread all over the Middle East, what we think of now as Muslim countries, or is it Persia, the Middle East, Jerusalem, Palestine, those were all Catholic countries. That was Byzantium. They were all Catholic, and they had the influence of the Greek culture, Aristotelian logic. In the West, with the fall of the Roman Empire and others, that logic, that Greek influence was lost. And so Augustine, he was very much influenced by the philosopher Plato and Socrates, not so much Aristotle. And so that's why I say Thomas Aquinas is greater than Augustine, because Augustine, he had a tremendous amount of theology, but his philosophy was a little weak. He just wasn't exposed to the writings of Aristotle, or if he did, it didn't have the impact. But in the Middle East, that's where that influence of Byzantium was really strong, and that didn't suffer until after the Muslims took over. People talk about the Islamic world as being a center of culture and learning. Not so. Muslims are, and always have been, kind of, you know, to be politically insensitive, desert barbarians, right? When they took over, like, the Islamic world was a center of learning and culture by the time of Albert the Great in the 13th century. But it was because they inherited Byzantine culture. It was that leftovers from Constantinople, from the Greeks, from all that influence for over 1,000 years, the Muslims took over, and they had been. What's his name? Muhammad himself. They were Bedouins. They were desert people. They didn't know how to administer these vast administrative structures. But the Greeks did. The Byzantines did. And so the Muslims, when they would take over a Catholic country, like the ones we've just described, they left those administrators in place. They just keep running things the way you've been running them. And that was fine until, with the advancements they were making, the Muslim theologians were studying Aristotle, and they began to see contradictions between the religion of Islam and basic logic. And sadly, Islam won out. That's when the Muslims, they would burn libraries and burn books, because if there was a conflict between the religion of Islam and common sense or logic, Islam had to win out. So all of this is going on at the time, and Albert the Great was one of the ones, along with Thomas Aquinas, they were receiving Aristotle through these Muslim philosophers. And because it was a Muslim source, the rest of the church was a little bit skeptical about it. They're like, well, we don't know. Yes, there's some wisdom here, but there's also these errors. And it was Albert the Great and Thomas Aquinas, mostly Thomas Aquinas, who purified Aristotle of any of the Islamic errors, or I would say just not necessarily Islamic errors of thought introduced through the Muslims. Purified Aristotle and was able to use it at the service of the church, and then really put together philosophy and theology. And now the two of those, they came together. There was a Dominican general chapter that was called, and Thomas Aquinas, Albert the Great, and a number of other theologians, Dominicans, came up with a program of studies for the people joining their order. How are we going to teach philosophy? Let's come up with a curriculum, a method of teaching. So that curriculum, they put it together, that began to be taught in Dominican houses, and a Dominican college, was founded in Rome. And it was known as the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, or the Angelicum for short, right? They still use that. This is still, when you have a talented seminarian all over the world, they'll send him, or at least in the English-speaking world, they'll send him to the Angelicum for studies. And that was founded by Thomas Aquinas and St. Albert the Great. So quite a legacy there. And as I said, between the two of them, reintroduced Aristotle to the West. So that was just one of his major accomplishments. As I mentioned, he was called the Universal Doctor. And you know, the trouble is, when you're really good at something, people think you're good at everything. And so he was elected to be provincial superior for the Dominicans. And he excelled in that capacity, administrating the Dominican order, although he'd rather be in teaching. And a few years later, the Pope made him a bishop. Bishop of, I think it was Ratisbon. And again, he served that position brilliantly, but it didn't really suit him. He only spent 3 years as a bishop before he resigned. One of the reasons being is that he followed very strictly his Dominican rule, and one of them was he would always go on foot everywhere. And when you're a bishop and you have to travel to all your different parishes, traveling on foot, it takes a while. So this wasn't really a good fit, so he resigned, and the Pope accepted his resignation. But it was by this time, Albert, he'd been named, he had been teaching prior to being general provincial superior, prior to being bishop. He'd been teaching and lecturing in Paris and Cologne for years, a few decades, I think. That was really what he excelled at, was his teaching and lecturing, writing those books. But by this time, he was provincial superior, he was made a bishop, he resigned, but it was too late for him just to return to teaching and lecturing. Princes, kings, medieval politicians, a version of it, were writing to him, asking him to resolve disputes, to settle problems, and he did so with tremendous success. He became a very skilled diplomat in these regards, so much so that in the city of Cologne, they called him the peacemaker. He did have the sorrow later in life of seeing his beloved pupil Thomas Aquinas pass on to his eternal reward in 1274. And that's always a sorrow for someone who's older to see a younger child, somebody die. But this was good in that Albert was able to travel to Paris, and Thomas Aquinas, because he was such a champion of Aristotle, his works were called into question by those who still couldn't separate the Islamic errors from just a pure Aristotle. So St. Albert was able to go and defend the works of Thomas Aquinas in his later years. He would die, St. Albert the Great would die in 1278 in Cologne and is buried there in a church. There's a huge church in Cologne. It's a massive, very famous church, and I've actually been there, and Albert the Great is buried in a smaller church nearby. So what a legacy. What a towering figure in education and science, putting together all that various knowledge, the natural sciences, helping to restore Aristotelian logic to the theology of the church. But what gave him this ability was his life of prayer. Right, the life of a Dominican is very much an interior life with Christ our Lord. And that's it. That right there, the combining of the spiritual and the natural, that's what makes sense of this world. We can have all the knowledge in the world, all the technological advances, all the facts, so to speak. If we don't have an interior life, if we don't have a relationship with Christ our Lord, it isn't going to make a difference. So what? Look at the world today. Look at all the vast information we have available, and nobody knows Christ. Nobody knows God. You know, very few, right? People are divorcing themselves from the author of everything, the author of all of this information, this vast scientific world out there. God created that, and there's no contradiction between what God created in nature and what God says through nature and what God says in the Bible, what God says through his church. The same author is behind all of them, right? Science, the church, the Bible, none of them ever contradict because they all have God as the author. So this is what you get. The reason the modern world exists is because of men like St. Albert the Great, who were synthesizing that, who understood the world and saw it for what it was, God the Creator. They thought about it, they interpreted it, and they passed it on. They passed it on to generations beyond them. And so I would say for us today that that would be something we can take away from this life of St. Albert the Great is let us do that for those who come after us. Everybody has wisdom. Everybody goes through life and you gain some wisdom. You gain something from suffering, from learning, just from being alive. Think about it and pass it on to the younger generation. Give them that wisdom. Don't keep it bottled up, but share it. And we don't. That's something you don't have to speak or write to share your wisdom. Just living, just being who you are, right? Being that example of a well-ordered life, right? Somebody who's lived for a while and they've got things figured out. There's just something that projects. You can project that to people. You can teach others just by your demeanor, by your quietness, by your piety, and so on. And so I would say that is really something for us to think about, is let us imitate Albert the Great in his teaching capacity. God does want us to teach others in whatever capacity it may be. We're only going to be able to do that if we have a good interior life of prayer. Right? As Thomas A. Kempis says in The Imitation of Christ, what good is a long life if it isn't a good one? What good is much learning if you're not pleasing to God? So let's resolve to do that. Teach others, teach those in our family, those in the world around us, after the example of Albert the Great, teach them by our example, by our love of Christ, who is the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.